Good morning. Well, it's fantastic to be here with you once again. I'd just like to bring greetings from our home church, Centrepoint Church in Bibra Lake. You know, Pastor Denise always we love to come here. There's just a great sense of family. We feel like we're part of this church. It's so nice to come here and be part of the body of Christ and really enjoy what you're doing. So I just want to thank you for always making us feel so welcome. It's just special. It's just fantastic. And we love coming here. So thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that each one of us is a pilgrim, that we are on a journey, that we are passing through, that this isn't our home, but we're going to be with you. We're going to a destination that is wonderful and great. And I pray that each one of us, you will strengthen on that journey. You would cause us to be able to finish well. You would cause us to be able to do life on this earth as well as we possibly can. Lord, I ask that today you would fill us with hope and direction and tenacity and strength to be able to live as pilgrims on this earth in strength, being able to bring love and to care of those around us, to be able to be part of your church and grow together as one and be faithful to the call that you've placed upon each of our lives. Lord, we want to bless you and thank you for what you're doing in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I have a very simple message for you. And as I was praying and preparing, I felt like that there's certain things that we need to be reminded of and we need to come back to so that we can journey well. And you know, our relationship with God is a journey. It starts in a particular place and it goes through all sorts of seasons and terrains. And as we journey with God, we experience and grow and we learn incredible new things. And you know, some of you may have been journeying that journey for many, many years and have very established relationships with God and know how to journey well. And there's others who may be just getting used to this journey and finding out what's required for us to journey well. Well, this morning, I just want to share a few things that I hope is helpful for you in journeying with God. But my experience has been a Christian for 34 years. And my experience has been that the journey involves changing terrain. As we journey, we go through different seasons and different terrain. And that as our seasons in Him changes, the terrain changes. And you know, sometimes it's like climbing a mountain. It's like we're hanging off the edge of a precipice and we're going up to the higher things in God. But there's danger and there's risk. There might be beauty and incredible things to see, but it's an uphill climb. And we need to be prepared for that part of the journey. At other stages in our journey, it's like we're walking beside still waters. And there's peace and there's calm and there's still. We need to know how to walk well through those journeys, through that seasons. You know, at other times in our Christian walk, it's like it's just a constant battle. Sometimes it's like there's devastation all around us and things are broken down and things are a mess and it feels like we're standing there alone fighting this battle on our own. We need to know how to journey well through that season and that terrain. Sometimes our Christian walk is this incredible mountaintop experience where we see things and hear things in God that we've never heard before, and there's celebration and life. We need to know how to journey through that season well. And then other times, have you ever seen this season? I'm sure we've all been there. But we need to know how to journey through this season well. Because all terrains are part of the journey. See, God wants us to find Him in all of these terrains. God wants to walk with you, and the power of His Spirit wants to walk with you through that terrain. He wants you to succeed the desert. He wants you to know how to live through that season well and to learn to walk with Him in all of these terrains. Well, no matter where you find yourself today, we're on a journey. And you know, movement is always part of journey. If we want a journey in God, we need to be prepared for the fact that we can't sit stationary. That journey in God requires movement. You can't go on a journey by sitting on your lounge suite at home. You need to be moving. You need to be going somewhere in God, because this journey is a partnership with Him. It's a partnership with His Holy Spirit, and it's a partnership with our incredibly heavy Father, Heavenly Father. Sorry. You know, we have a significant role in how we journey through these seasons of life. You can't just sit back and go, this is God's responsibility, I'll totally leave it to Him. We have a part to play. There's decisions we need to make. There's a plan we need to be aware of. We need to learn how to journey well through all of those terrains. You know, James chapter 4, verse 8 says this. It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now, this is an incredible promise, but it has a condition. And the condition is this: draw near to God. Now, that's our responsibility. That's our part to play in this picture. That's part of our us moving along that journey, getting up off our lounge and starting to walk with Him. He desires us to draw near to Him. And His promise is clear. When we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. How about Matthew 7, verse 7 to 9? It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, it will be opened to him. So we have a part to play in this journey. We can't afford to just sit stationary. We need to make a decision in our lives to be constantly sojourning, constantly moving in Him, constantly growing, constantly moving on the journey of God. We can't just wait for Him to do something. I often run into Christians who will say, well, I don't really know what God wants me to do, and I don't know really where God's taking me, and I don't know what my direction in God is. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for God. Well, that's okay, and it's good to wait on God, but we need to establish things in our lives that will continue us and keep us on the journey through those seasons, through all the seasons and all the terrains of our life. Now, I'm going to share something that's quite personal this morning, and I don't think I've ever really shared this journey in this church before. But about 6 years ago, our lives dramatically changed. Now, at the time, we were senior pastoring a church in Port Kennedy. It was growing. It was going well. We had started it from a very, very small group of people, and it was going well. We had grown from three people to several hundred people. and there was success, and we had a leadership team and buildings, and it was going really well. And then all of a sudden, I started to notice that I was becoming tired, and things were hard, and I was dragging myself to everything I did, and I found that I was losing vision, and I couldn't see direction for my future, and it's like all the things that we were building was, it was great, and it was going on, but it was leaving me behind. I was becoming exhausted and run down, and not able to cope with the situations that I found in my life. I've always been a person who's loved to be busy, loved to be full of ambition and direction and things going on, but I was just flagging. And I remember talking to Pastor Stewart around about those seasons, and we often discuss those things. And there were many people around me who were trying to encourage me through this season, but I was just exhausted. I went to my doctor, who was a Christian, and he said, "You need to stop doing what you're doing." We were running a successful church. We were running a business. We had all sorts of stuff going on. And he said, "You can't continue to do this." So we made the great decision of campusing our church to another church. So we actually gave away our baby. We relinquished our church to another church. But I still felt this weight and this pressure of exhaustion and that I just couldn't keep up. Denise's health wasn't great at the time either. And I was serving on the state executive, the ACC state executive. I resigned from that. So I resigned from our church, resigned from our state executive role. We resigned from everything that we were doing in God. And you know, in about a 2-week period, I went from being the senior minister of a successful church to being Ian the Christian. I had no direction. I had no vision. No plan, no purpose, no church. I just didn't know what to do. I was lost. I'd lost all momentum in God, vision, and direction. And today, I want to talk to you about the four things, the four foundational things that got me through that desert experience to stand here today having vision and direction and feeling like God has a plan and a purpose for me. Now, my health is better now. I've recovered from the situation that I was experiencing. In fact, the doctor found out what was wrong with me, and probably it was only a very short period of time before I was back to feeling good again. But the thing was, though, is I was starting from scratch. But I want to talk to you today about four basic things that caused me to survive that wilderness experience. Now, it's interesting, though, that those four things, I had made a decision a long time ago, long before this season, when I first gave my life to Jesus Christ, that these four things would be foundational in my life. That no matter what happened, whether I went up or down, no matter the terrain, whether it was mountaintop, whether it was valley, whether it was desert, whether it was war, I made a decision that those four things would retain in my life. And you know, it's those four things that got me through the season and caused me not to be lost. We need to make decisions, good decisions, that certain things remain in our life so that when times get tough, when we're struggling, when our health fails and disaster comes along, we know we're going to be able to make it through those seasons. You know, this Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So I believe it's really important that we need to make good decisions. So I'm going to share with you this morning those four things that I believe should be foundational to every one of our lives. Now, some of you will be very established in this. Some of you it will be a good reminder. Some of you, you'll hear things you haven't heard before, but I hope this is helpful. Amen? Firstly, thing one, never stop reading this. This is our foundational truth. I've explained to you before that all throughout my life, from the time I was a little child, this is the only thing that has never changed. We need to make sure that no matter what circumstance we're in, whether we're on the top of a mountain or whether we're at the lowest low, whether we're walking through that desert devastated, this must be a part of our life. Now, I made a decision a long time ago, many, many, many years ago, that I would read the word every day. Now, that doesn't always happen. But because I've made the decision to read the word every day, every morning when I get up, I read it. Now, some days I might not. Some days I've got to race out the door. Some days I might miss that. But the decision has already been made to read the word every day. So I just come back to that decision every day of my life. I don't beat myself up when it doesn't happen because the decision's already made. You know, this isn't just a book. This isn't like any other book you're going to read. This is an encounter with Jesus. And this morning, I want to remind you today that whether you read one chapter or one verse, we need to have an encounter with this every day of our lives. This will keep you strong on the journey. You know, this book is a spiritual thing. It's very different. You could look at any other book that we might find in this building today, but this book is different. This book is a spiritual thing and it needs to be part of your daily encounter. And that's why it doesn't matter how much you read, you just need to encounter it. You know, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this. For the word of God is living and powerful. Did you catch that? If you wake up in the morning and go, oh no, I've got to read the Bible. And you know, you open the Bible and you slog yourself way through your chapter or your two chapters. You're missing the point. This is living and powerful. You know what sometimes I've done when my life is, I've really been struggling, and I know I did this in this season. I used to wake up in the morning feeling devastated in my spirit, and I'd lay this on my chest and I'd lay there and I'd just worship God, and it'd affect me. It'd get me through the seasons. This is an encounter. You know, in 1 John, it says Jesus is the Word. This is our encounter with Jesus. Every day of our lives, we need to make sure that we're encountering this. You know what is my greatest fear and my greatest concern about the future church? Is a lack of this. This is part of who we're called to be. This is a non-negotiable. You know, I just can't remember how many times I've been going through a difficult situation and the word has just popped into my brain, and exactly what I need to get me through that season has happened at that exact moment. Now, it's not because I've gone about to remember scripture. It's because over years I've just put little bit by little bit by little bit, by little bit, always reading this, constantly reading this, it goes in. This is an encounter. We need to make sure that we never get distracted from reading the word. See, the word is a discerner of your thoughts and your attentions. Let me read the rest of the scripture. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You know what? The word reads you. You don't read it. When we spend time in the word, we go, wow, I see that. I see me in here. I see that I need to adjust. I need to change. This is the discerner of our hearts. So I'd like to encourage you this morning that no matter where you are in your journey, never forsake the reading of the word on a daily basis. This might be your practice, but come again to it afresh. Come again to it looking for an encounter in Him, the most incredible spiritual book. Read the Word every day. Make a decision. You know, Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of godly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now here's the promise. "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water that bring forth fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper." This needs to be a foundation. It's not an option. My second point, and I'd like to highlight two parts of this. My second point is prayer. Now, you all might go, "Well, yeah, I get that. That's a foundational thing." But I just want to highlight two kinds of prayer which got me through seasons that I don't think I would have got through any other way. And firstly, that's praying in the Spirit. You know, I believe that praying in the Spirit is the most underutilized gift in the Christian life. The church has this powerful gift, which I believe that many of us don't use like we could. We don't capitalize on the power of praying in the Spirit like we should. It's an incredibly powerful gift. Did you know I can wake up in the morning? We can all wake up in the morning and we can start to pray in the Spirit, not knowing what we're praying, but knowing 100% that we are communicating and praying the will of God. It's perfect. Without us understanding, without us knowing, we can declare His purposes. We can pray His breakthrough. We can pray His will and what He desires you to pray through faith and the release of praying in tongues. We need to make sure that we're well connected to this gift. Do you understand this morning? Praying in the Spirit is a powerful, powerful tool. See, I don't trust that my own mind can pray what God needs me to pray. And when I'm going through seasons of desert or war times, I'm not clever enough. I don't know enough. I'm not spiritual enough to understand exactly what I need to pray. I need this gift. We all need this gift. And if I can encourage you this morning, please don't let praying in the Spirit pass from your daily routine. Praying in the Spirit is a powerful, powerful thing. You know, Paul the Apostle said, "I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all." This was his daily, this was his routine, this was his normal. Praying in the Spirit is a powerful gift, and I really believe that we need to utilize this well. Why don't we come back to praying in the Spirit? Now, if you're here this morning and you don't have the gift of praying in tongues, after the service, I would love the opportunity to pray for you, to see you released in that gift. You know, this is an incredibly powerful tool. The second side of prayer, which I'd like to talk to you about this morning, which I believe is really powerful for you to set as a standard in your life and to have as a consistent discipline, is pulling aside. Now we see in Scripture that this was normal for Jesus. In Luke 6:12 it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." See, Jesus wasn't a 10-minute prayer. Now the 10-minute prayer is great and I'd encourage you to continue in that. But what I'm talking about is allowing blocks of time for you and God to interact, for you and God to be together. For you to sit in God's presence, for you to allow the Holy Spirit to get off the freeway of life for a moment, to allow God to speak into you. Now, I've found this so beneficial. And when I was pastoring the church, I used to go away and I used to regularly look for God and search for God in those seasons and hear what he was saying. But I found it's just as important to do that. Now I no longer pastor a church. In fact, I went away on Thursday and Friday of this last week just to spend time with God and pray. It's crucial. I don't believe that we have the time in this busy, crazy life to be able to really hear from God in the way that he wants us to be able to hear unless we pull aside. It was Jesus' normal practice. He modeled that for his disciples. He encouraged his disciples to come away with him. You know, I was talking to Pastor Sharon Chalaya, who's Pastor Joel and Pastor Sharon are the senior ministers of our church. And she was saying, we were just discussing how this used to be a common thing. In the 80s and 90s, we would often hear about people, you know, would go away for a couple of days and find God and pursue him for the answers that we need. And we'd go away and we'd fast and we'd pray. Where is that? We need to revisit that place. This is an important part of our relationship with God. And realistically, I don't know whether I would have survived my wilderness without pulling aside. Establish this in your own life. You know, it might be an hour, or it might be a day, or it might be a week. But at certain times in our life, in certain times in our year, we need to pull aside and hear what God is saying. Amen. Jeremiah 30, 21 says, "For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me?" Who pledged his heart, said, "I'm going to approach God." Says the Lord, "You shall be my people and I will be your God." We need to pledge our hearts to approach him. Now, the third thing I want to talk to you about this morning, which I believe is foundational to getting through the seasons of the journey of our life in God, is church attendance. Now, I know I'm speaking to the converted here this morning because you're here. And those of you who are online, you're here. So I know I'm speaking to the converted. I'm speaking to the wrong people this morning. But let me encourage you with this. Don't let that lapse. Don't become people who come every 6 weeks or every 5 weeks. Be people who are consistent in God. You know what has been one of the most powerful decisions I've ever made in all my Christian life? Is that unless I'm away on holidays or unless I'm sick, we go to church. So I don't have to wake up on Sunday morning and go, "Oh, what are we going to do today? Are we going to go to church or are we going to stay home? Are we going to go to the beach? Are we going to do this? Oh, I got up too late. I think I'll stay home." No, no, no. No decision. We don't have to fight with that decision every week of our life. Unless we're away or unless we're sick, we just go to church. It's just a foundational thing that we need to do. And I'm grieved by the statistics that say that people are coming to church rather than every week, every 2 weeks, and every 3 weeks, and every 4 weeks, and every 5 weeks. You know, we experienced something together this morning that is so precious. I just loved being with the body of Christ this morning and worshiping together. You cannot get that anywhere else. And you know, sometimes I just want God to see me with the body of Christ. I just want to be numbered with the body. I want God to know that this is my people. You are my people. You are the people I want to be with. You know, you're not even my home church, but you are the people I want to be with. You are the people I want to hang around with. We share the same visions, the same ideals. We share the same God. We don't find that in any other place. I'm part of a yacht club and we're part of a car club. But we don't agree with all those people. We don't have the same ideals. They're not our people. This is our people. The church is vitally important for us to be connected. We shared communion together and it was absolutely beautiful. We need to do that and not neglect doing that. If I can remind you of something this morning, don't stop coming to church. Make it regular, make it consistent. You know, when we had a young child growing up, and every Sunday he didn't go, "Mum and Dad, what are we doing this morning?" He knew it was Sunday. We went to church. This is the greatest foundation we can ever give for our children. We just need to be people who go to church. The fourth thing that I believe has been the most powerful thing in getting me through this Christian life. Maybe this is a bit of an unusual one for some of you, but I cannot stress how powerful a gift this is, and that gift is fasting. I know many of you are sitting here going, "Oh, no! No, I'm okay with the first three, but not fasting." Yes, fasting. Matthew 6, verse 17 says this. Now, this is Jesus speaking, so this is important. You need to listen. Now, this is what he says to his disciples. "But you..." So immediately he's drawing their attention. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about you, not me, you. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." There's about three yous or yours in that very statement alone. "So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in heaven in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, I've found that to be incredibly true. Now, like I mentioned, we've been Christians for 34 years, and fasting's not something that many people just step into. Fasting is something you learn. Fasting is something that if you will take with you on the journey, it will transform your life. It's the place to find breakthrough. It's the place to fight when there's no other way of fighting. It's the way to see stuff like you've never seen before. Isaiah 58 says, God says, "Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?" Fasting is important. We don't hear enough about fasting in the church today. It's an incredibly powerful tool. And you know, fasting is God's choice. It's God's choice. Now, I'm going to tell you quickly of my experience with fasting. This was a long time ago, and I'd been a Christian a few years, and I was growing in God, and I was struggling with my mind, and I was struggling with my flesh, and I struggled with sexual thoughts and desires, and I struggled with things that I shouldn't struggle with, and lusting after, you know, earthly things, and, you know, I needed help. And I needed some way of being able to break through and deal with those things. And I prayed this prayer. I said, "God, I want you to teach me how to walk in the Spirit." And I prayed that prayer over and over and over. It's like almost the only prayer I prayed for days and weeks. "God, I want you to teach me how to walk in the Spirit. I want you to teach me how to walk in the Spirit." Because it was important for me. I was sick of living in the flesh. I was sick of being in bondage to my flesh. And you know, after praying that prayer for several weeks, God gave me one word, totally out of the blue, and that one word was fast. And I was shocked. I thought, "God, what has fasting got to do with walking in the Spirit? How are you going to teach me to walk in the Spirit through fasting? So I trusted him and I started. Start off not eating breakfast. And that was hard. I always ate breakfast. Notice by about morning tea time, I'm thinking, I've got to eat something. I've normally had breakfast and morning tea by now. And I noticed that by lunchtime and middle afternoon, I was starting to get pains in my legs. I'm thinking, what's that? Why have I got these pains in my legs? And by afternoon tea time and coming on to dinner time, I'm thinking, this is terrible. I've got to eat something. I can't sustain this. God, how am I going to learn if I can't get through one day? But I continued. And I woke up the next morning and my stomach was feeling empty and I've had pains in my stomach and I had a headache in my head and my head was just bashing and my legs were in pain and I was feeling terrible. I'm going, God, how is this ever going to help me? I feel like I've been run over by a bus. But I continued. And you know, by lunchtime of the second day, I was feeling worse and worse. And by the end of the second day, I noticed this. That the voice of my flesh is going, Ian, you need to feed me. Anything. Hamburgers, twisties, cheesels, I don't care. Just give me anything. And you know, this voice was getting louder and louder. And that voice was saying, you don't need to do this, Ian. You don't need to do this. Forget this. This is stupid. Why do you need to not eat? And then that voice got louder and it started saying things like, you're starving me here. And you know, after two or three days, my flesh was going, you're starving me here, I'm going to die, you need to feed me. I'm going to die of hunger here if you keep doing this to me. But you know what I noticed in all that noise and all that confusion, in my body feeling absolutely terrible, I noticed another voice. And the voice of my spirit was calm and it was quiet, but it had incredible authority. And it was saying, Ian, I'm in control here. And I noticed that the voice of my spirit was starting to talk to the voice of my flesh that was screaming at me for food and going, no, 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 no. You're not in control. I'm in control. And the voice of my spirit, although it was quiet and it was gentle, was saying things with such authority to my flesh, I couldn't believe it. It's saying things like, I'm in control here, and if I wanted to, I could starve you to death. My spirit took authority over the voice of my flesh, and I'm noticing this going on at the same time as feeling terrible. But you know what I learned from that exercise is I learned to hear the voice of the Spirit and learned to hear the voice of the flesh. And I believe that very accurately, through asking God to teach me how to walk in the Spirit, showed me through fasting the voice of the flesh. How it screamed at me, how it wanted to take control, wanted me to feed it. But you know what? The voice of my spirit prevailed. And you know, any time now, when my flesh rises up, I can still hear that same voice. That same voice that goes, no, no, you need to feed me, I'm dying here. But the voice of my spirit be going, hey, I'm in control here. You listen to me. Fasting is a powerful way of learning how to overcome the flesh. It's a powerful way of being able to separate the things of the flesh from the things of the spirit. And we need to learn those things. You know, there's a couple of things with fasting which I believe are important. And I'm going to finish in a moment. I won't be long. Start small. Don't try to fast for 40 days before you've tried to fast for 2 days. Because life's a journey and it takes time to develop this thing. Pray and ask God how long for. pray and ask how you want it, how he wants you to go about that fast. And spend time listening to the voice of the flesh. You try this sometime. It's worth a try. Stop eating for 2 days and have a listen to your flesh. And listen what it says. It says, you don't need to do this. This is stupid. You need to feed me. I'm going to die here. Start to learn to listen to the voice of the flesh and control it with the voice of your spirit. You know, I found that, and after fasting for a long period of time, I found this. Like, it's been a long time since I had that experience. That if you give up the things you're addicted to before you fast, you don't get the pains in your legs. You don't get the headaches. If you stop drinking coffee before you fast, and you stop eating sugar before you fast, you don't get the pain. You know, now, and I don't feel like I'm addicted to anything at the moment, if I chose to not eat for 21 days, I could choose today to not eat for 21 days and not eat for 21 days without feeling any significant discomfort in my body. Purely because, one, I'm not addicted to anything, and two, the voice of the Spirit now is the one that chooses what I do and how long I fast for. You know, that's been my experience. And I know Denise is, and I, we've walked this journey together. Denise does several 40-day fasts in a year. So that's just liquids, not eating any food for 40 days. It's amazing how Mahatma Gandhi, you know, he went for 5 days on a hunger fast and everyone thought he was going to die. You can go for 40 days without fasting and it doesn't kill you. It's just that your body's not used to that. But let me tell you, we've seen the greatest breakthroughs we've ever seen in our life in connection to fasting. It doesn't always happen while you're fasting, but I tell you, it changes things. It's dramatic. Whenever we need great breakthrough in our lives, the first thing we do is fast. I would encourage you this morning to start the journey of fasting. Learn to fast. Do the journey with God and you'll see incredible breakthroughs. It'll get you through the times of wilderness experience. Fasting is a powerful tool. Now, I could preach all day on fasting, but I just wanted to encourage you today with foundational things that you'll get you through the seasons of hardship in your life. Just like the band to come and join me. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like the opportunity to pray for you today. If you want to find breakthrough in fasting, if you've tried fasting and you found it hard and difficult and you want to find breakthrough in fasting, I want to pray for you this morning. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can speak in tongues and pray in that powerful prayer language, I want to pray for you this morning. Let's see some breakthrough in this place. But what I'd firstly like to do is pray this morning that we make good decisions in our lives to establish ourselves in the foundational things that keep us strong through all seasons. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today that you have connected us to your kingdom and you desire us to flourish and to grow in the kingdom upon the earth at this time. Lord, I just ask that every one of us here today would make good decisions, that we would be people who read the word on a daily basis, Lord, that we would be people who pray. And we pray in the Spirit and we set time aside to be able to seek you. Lord, I pray that we would be people who are committed to church life, that we're committed to the body of Christ, that we want to be found with the people of God, that we wouldn't let those things slide, but we'd be strong in the decisions we've made. And Lord, that we would be people who are able to fast for great breakthrough and see significant things change in our lives and the yoke broken. Lord, I thank you this morning for your incredible love for us. That you walk with us every day on the journey. And your Holy Spirit empowers us along our way. God, we want to bless you today. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Just while our heads are bowed, if there's anyone here this morning who has never committed their lives to Jesus Christ, if you've never made that initial decision of saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, I'd like to give you that opportunity today. This is the start of the journey. This is where the journey starts. And this journey is an incredible journey that'll take you through amazing places and cause you to live in eternity with him. If you've never made that decision and you would like to accept the free gift of eternal life that Jesus has for you this morning, I'd just like you to give me a wave. Is there anyone this morning who would like to enter into that relationship with him? Lord, we just want to bless you this morning and thank you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I just bless you. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We would really love the opportunity to pray with you this morning. Whatever the situation is, whether you need healing, whether you need breakthrough, whether you just want to make some good decisions about journeying through this life with God, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'd love that opportunity. Come forward and we would love to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Lord.